I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz, alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. We've got Caller Fold this hour. Kick around some of the topics of the week in sports. Getting closer to the NFL draft. Got some speculation from Adam Schefter that I would like to bring your way because I think he is wrong. Or it's not that I think he's wrong. I think he is being told information that is wrong. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to either Cleveland or New York. That's what I think. And we'll get into that here in a little bit. Again, 888-710 for ISN, 888-710-4476. I would like to inform you about a situation that happened tonight in Major League Baseball between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Los Angeles Angels. Tampa Bay at home, but remember, they're playing at George Steinbrenner Field, where the Yankees minor league affiliate plays. It's the second inning. And the Angels are at the plate, and we've got a play at the wall tonight.
Camp. High shot back into deep left. That's well tagged, and it will... Is he going to catch it or not? He caught that.
He actually didn't, and the clip got cut off there. 11-second clip, very useful. So... Christopher Morel in the outfield is tracking the ball that came off the bat of Kyren Paris for the Angels. The ball was caught in the field of play by a fan. So the fan reached over and caught it. Now, in a minor league park, it's a little tougher. The Rays challenge for fan interference.
A minor league facility, so they don't have the yellow line. Makes this a little tougher to tell.
That's over the wall. And that's not, it's not like he was camped underneath it. There's no way.
Upon the field stands, there's a home run.
So it's a two-run home run. Rays end up losing the game 4-3. So what's the big deal? That happens sometimes, right? A fan gets a ball. It's encouraged to bring a glove to games, and part of the reason you sit in the outfield is to try to get a ball. Now, you try to be respectful. You don't want to be a part of the play. Certainly, what you don't want to do is try to rip Mookie Betts' arm off in a World Series game. That'd be bad. The problem was it was caught by Zach Hample. Zach Hample is this kid who is now 47 years old. According to Hample, he first caught a ball at a game at Shea Stadium in 1990. He has described his interest in catching foul balls as a passion. He wanted it so bad he's addicted. He claims to have caught 12,000 balls. Hample publishes videos about baseball and ball hawking on YouTube, where he has nearly 600,000 subscribers. He hires his own videographers to document some of his ball hawking exploits. He also operates a concierge service, escorting fans to games and showing them how to catch balls and where to go. He charges fans $1,500 for the experience, plus travel expenses. Hample's aggressive tactics have resulted in widespread criticism from players, writers, and others. He has been accused of bumping multiple fans, including children, out of the way to catch balls. The New York Post has called him baseball's most hated fan. In 2017, Clayton Kershaw refused to give him a ball prior to a Dodgers game. In 2022, a Rockies usher witnessed an incident in which a coach threw a ball to a young fan who then dropped it. Hample grabbed the ball as he walked away. The usher asked why he didn't give the ball to the kid. Hample replied, because it's my ball. He dropped it, so it's my ball.
I think they suck.
We talked about foul balls a little bit last week. And I do believe that if there's one in the air, you have every right to it. If it gets out of your fingers, it's over. Typically, it has become nice etiquette to give it to a kid nearby. That'd be tough for me if I was at the game without my son. I would probably want to take it home for my kid. So there's got to be, but then I would say that and people wouldn't believe me and they'd boo. You know? I saw a guy last week who caught a foul ball, had the opportunity to give it to a young kid or a group of four young women, mid-20s, he gave it to the women. I don't know if he saw the kid, but I was heartbroken for the kid. One of those things that I'm going to think about just for a long time. This Zach Hample guy, I just hate this guy. He's trying to make a living catching foul balls. And on one hand, I can appreciate somebody trying to carve out, because what businessmen will tell you, key businessmen, what they will tell you on those 30-second reels is try to find a niche. Try to find something that hasn't been discovered yet. Try to provide a service that people don't know that they're missing. And if you've got enough money and you want to spend $1,500 on how to learn how to catch a foul ball, well, that might be worth it for you. But Zach Hample is just such a dork about it that I don't like him. And of course it was him tonight. So, officially, we here at the Bart Winkler Show are not fans of Zach Hample, whose name I only know from catching foul balls. And it wasn't that Zach Hample then tweeted a picture of him with the ball and was like, hey, I got another one. People are watching the game and they're like, oh my God, that's that Zach Hample guy. Adios, amigos. All right, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. JT is in Atlanta. What's up, JT?
Hey, what's going on, Bart? Man, thanks for taking my call. I got a question, and maybe you could help shed some light on this, because we've all heard of the Madden curse, right? But I don't know, and I'm not trying to make it political or not.
I know exactly where you're going.
Do you know, and my question is this, do you know what changed? Because I know in 17, they were like, no, we're not doing it, right? With the same, you know, cabinet or the same, you know, people occupying the White House. But now they're like, hey, we're going. And the same thing with my Eagles. They're doing the same thing. And I'm praying that what I'm seeing with my Dodgers doesn't happen to my Eagles this upcoming season as well. Do you have any information as to why they maybe changed, you know, their tune and decided to go?
So the Dodgers went to the White House. They are 0-2 since. They are losers of four of their last five after starting 8-0. You're asking what changed with the Dodgers since Monday, or what changed why they went this time?
Well, both, right? Well, I know what changed since Monday, right? I think, again, it is what it is. I watched it, and it was hilarious because he's reading, and you could tell he has no clue about anything Dodgers. And I think that maybe that's most presidents. I don't know. I know maybe Barack was a little bit more sports, knowledgeable. But most of them don't know anything about sports, so I don't hold that against them. But my thing is, it doesn't feel good that since then we haven't won. Since they didn't go in 17, I'm wondering why they went now when nothing else has changed other than the years.
Yeah, I think from just what I've seen, maybe you've seen more than me. They just wanted to, for lack of a better term, play ball. There were some fans that didn't want them to go. You know, it shouldn't be this way. I think you should always want to go, but I understand why some don't want to go for them and some don't want to go for them. And the way that we've gotten as a country is kind of sad, but they went, and you know, it was their choice to go. So I don't know what changed, other than I think they might have thought it was easier to go and deal with that pushback than not go and deal with that pushback.
Okay, and that makes sense. Now on the field, this is why I never get super hyped about our pitching staff. In the off season, every off season we have a ton of arms, and I kid you not, it doesn't take 2 months before half of them are injured or something else. I mean, with Snell already injured, it just seems like we're already. The guy we threw today, I didn't know he was a call up. I don't know who he was, but he got rocked first inning up. And we're already at a deficit as far as pitching, where to start the season, it was like, yo, this is the greatest pitching staff ever assembled, you know, six-man rotation, yada, yada, yada. But I can't remember the last time they've had a healthy staff. And I don't know if it's anything that's going on. I mean, we get all the Price, not Price, but I forget who the pitching coach is right now off the top of my head. But we're always fixing everybody, but at the same time, no one ever can stay healthy. And I'm just hoping that it doesn't come back to fight us at the end of the year. And I just can't wait for Shohei to come around as well. So, Bart, I really appreciate you taking my call, my guy.
Yeah, JT, thanks for the call. I saw him. Shohei was he's doing a bullpen. Threw about 20 pitches. And just even watching him do that is great. Yeah, Dodgers, you know, the injuries are a concern. They were a concern last year. Last year, the Dodgers ran out of healthy arms. They ran out of really healthy. They had great arms, but they ran out. It's called sports. And baseball in particular. And pitchers, you could say, really in particular. Does that make sense? Anthony is in Georgia. Anthony.
Hey, Bart, how you doing? Love your show, man.
What's up, man?
I got two questions. The first one, I know the Braves won tonight. I know they won in eight, but what got me is, do you think the Braves gonna build their momentum up to trying to reach to the playoffs? Now they won in eight, because I know they lost their opening day, and then they just won tonight. Do you think there's a chance that the Braves will get back on track, you know, now they won, if, you know, the first, you know, their first game?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any reason to be worried about the Braves. Like, I know that, what are they, 2-8, like you said? So this is something I ran into. I was doing a show last week, the Wisconsin podcast I do, because the Brewers started 0-4, and I said, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And well, now they're 6-5. So I'm like, there's an adage from an old writer that Memorial Day, like the first time you check the standings has got to be Memorial Day. Otherwise, you're going to go crazy twisting yourself into, are they good? Are they not good? And it takes a while. And the Braves started on the road in San Diego at Dodger Stadium. Like, they weren't scoring runs. So you got to take the long view on that one.
Yeah, and I believe that too, because I was like, man, what's going on with them? Their best players, are they injured, or their pitching not doing well? They not hitting or anything? And I'm like, okay, I know they just getting started, but like the other season, you know, last season or season before that, they came out strong. They were just beating everybody, and then when they get to the playoffs, they be doing good. Now it's like, okay, we coming up with a slow start, and all of a sudden out of the blue, we're like, okay, now we are all right. Now we winning two games. Now we can get back on track. Now my second one, everybody was still talking about the Florida Houston game.
Yeah.
That last play. I was very surprised how Florida came back from a 22-point deficit.
Was 12, okay. 12 points.
Okay, 12 points, my mistake. 12-point deficit. And all of a sudden out of the blue, It was just like Houston Duke game. Duke had the lead, and then Houston came back. Now it's like vice versa. Houston came up with a 12-point lead, and then Duke came back, and the guys from Florida scored the last point. But the last play, Houston had the ball.
Yeah.
And he just, I don't know, he just stepped up, stepped back. He was just doing some kind of crazy way. And his teammates just looking at him like, and they just stand there, and he's fumbled the ball.
They had 18 seconds. They ran a play. They tried to get a shot off. He changed his mind. He couldn't touch the ball. The team was in shock. We were all in shock. Anthony, I got to let you go. Thanks for the call. It was a game that I think that's going to stick. That's the lasting image of the tournament. Like, I think that's the lasting image of the tournament. The Cooper flag shot. Duke blew a worse lead. Houston had an 11-1 run in the final minute 14. Against Florida, Houston didn't take a shot. Not make a shot, take a shot in the final 125. But, that's got to be lasting. It was the last play of the championship game. The Duke loss, if you're going to rank, like, what was more heartbreaking? Well, I don't know. I think the Duke loss was a bigger collapse. The Houston one was more heartbreaking. That was for the championship. And you just did that against them, and you got that far to only get that far? Oh, I feel for Houston fans today. I do. I know what it's like to watch your team in the playoffs invent ways to lose. I complain about my teams. I'm in Wisconsin. Brewers, Bucks, Badgers, Packers. I got a Bucks title. I got a couple of Packers Super Bowls in my life. And I know some people don't have any or less, but man, the ways that these teams have lost. So when I see it happen to another fan base, I don't think it's funny. I don't laugh at it. I don't even take pride in, like, we got another one on our side. Now they know what it's like. I don't want you to know what it's like. No. Empathy still exists in this world, I think. I felt it today for Houston. Mainly in sports. The rest of the world, you can screw off. You know what's been really grinding my gears? Do you end up, what's your driving situation like, Carlos? Do you get to four-way stops much, where it's an intersection, stop sign, everyone? Are you too big city of a drive? It's all stoplights.
No, there's a couple of intersections where I got to stop. Not a lot of four-way intersections between here and my house, but there's a couple I got to deal with.
All right, so the four-way stop, a lot of times what will happen is I will be coming slightly behind. They're coming this way, I'm coming that way, so we're going to cross at the intersection. We're going different directions. We're going perpendicular is the word, I think. No, we're crossing. We're not going on the same. We're on different streets. And I know that they think they're going to get there second. So I make sure that I stop second so that they know they can go. And I don't know what it is around here. Midwest Nice is out of control, because the amount of people that have been waving me to go, they get there first, then I get there, then they wave me to go. And it's driving me up a wall. And so yesterday it happened, and we had a standoff for about 15 seconds where no one was going.
Oh, you guys are too nice.
Because this guy had to be nice. And so he gives me the wave, like, go ahead. And you know what I did? I looked at him, and I shook my head. I'm not going. No. And then we sat there for another 5 seconds. And then he finally went. That's unhinged, right?
For you.
From him.
No, for you. Because the answer is you just go about your day. He gives you the wave. Okay, thanks. See ya.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Someone's got to learn a lesson around here.
Yeah, that person is you. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Someone tells you to take the stop sign, take the right away, you take it.
No, won't do it. 888-710-4ISN. Caller Fold up next on the Bart Winkler Show.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. We love big money on the Bart Winkler Show.
You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW.
The cards are on the table. Bring in the high rollers.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
It's time to put up or shut up with Call or Fold.
Like I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something.
Here's Big Bucks Bart Winkler and Cold Cash Carlos Ortiz.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah! Call or Fold every Tuesdays for now until the Bartometer takes its spot here on Tuesdays coming this fall. We will get your program schedules out accordingly. But for now, Call or Fold every Tuesday here on the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It's buy or sell, but better, because it gets all this casino theme music and all that jazz behind it. Bart, let's start here. Big story today was the Nuggets firing head coach Michael Malone and said they would not extend general manager Calvin Booth's contract. This is just days before the end of the regular season. Denver is currently fourth in the Western Conference. Now, this comes off the heels of last week when the Memphis Grizzlies fired their head coach in Taylor Jenkins, when at the time, Memphis was two games out of the second seed. That's insane. David Edelman will take over as head coach for remainder season for Denver. Call or Fold, either the Nuggets or Grizzlies will make the Western Conference Finals.
I am going to fold that. Both teams are making a shakeup because they think that it's still a possibility that they can. Now, if the season were to end right this very second after tonight's games, the Grizzlies and Nuggets would be the 4-5 matchup, I believe. Yeah, so right now it's Thunder 1, Rockets 2, Lakers 3, Nuggets 4, Grizzlies 5, Clippers 6, 7, Warriors and 8, the Timberwolves. So the Warriors trying to avoid the play-in. Same with the Timberwolves, who blew a lead tonight in Milwaukee. But then the winner would play the Thunder, or even still, somebody's getting involved with the Rockets or the Warriors or the Lakers. I would think that, you know, with all due respect to the Rockets, and maybe I should be paying more attention to them, honestly, I think the Thunder, this is their conference to lose. And then I like Golden State or LA before I like, and put the Rockets in there, those three teams before I, and maybe even the Clippers above the Nuggets and the Grizzlies. Look, there's issues with the team, both teams, that the organizations are trying to solve by moving on from their coaches. But it's not just we have the wrong coach. There's other things that are going to have to be fixed in terms of roster and culture and all that stuff. And I don't know that it's a boost. The Grizzlies, when they fired Taylor Jenkins, I believe they lost their next three. Nuggets and Grizzlies play each other coming up, so that'll be a big game. I think that's Friday. But no, I don't think they're either team. I appreciate them trying something, that because they thought they were driving straight into a wall. So at least, you know, swerve. I appreciate that. But I don't think ultimately that it will pay off for either team.
Yeah, which is pretty incredible because, you know, you don't make these moves unless you know it's going to completely pay off. And for the fact that two Western Conference teams do it, it's mind-boggling to me. I mean, ugh. It doesn't pay to win an NBA title.
It's crazy. It's crazy that it happened with Taylor Jenkins, and now it's crazy that, like, that barely happened because it just happened with Michael Malone.
Yeah, and, dude, isn't winning the NBA title now, it just seems like the kiss of death. Mike Budenholzer won it with you guys. He's gone. Nick Nurse won it. He's gone. Like, how long till Joe Mazzulla gets fired? Like, I feel like if you win the championship,
Steve Kerr safe? Gone. He won it 3 years ago. Is he safe?
I think he's safe because he won four.
Oh, yeah, that, yeah.
Like, these other guys have won one. Frank Vogel, who's probably going to get fired because the Suns have missed the playoffs. Now they've been officially eliminated. He won a championship with the Lakers. He was gone, like, almost right away. The turnover for NBA head coaches is insane. It feels like hockey nowadays. All right. Let's go to All-Star center fielder Jackson Merrill. He landed on the injured list today. It's a week after finalizing $135 million 9-year deal with the San Diego Padres. He's going to be out with a right hamstring strain. Merrill's turning 22 years old on April 19th. He made it clear after his rookie season that he wants to stay with the Padres long term. Bart, it reminds me of basically every single Atlanta Braves player who left money on the table, like Ronald Acuna Jr. and Spencer Strider. They basically signed for peanuts. Colorfold. Long-term extensions on rookie deals are bad for baseball free agents.
For the free agents? No, fold.
Fold.
That'll be more money for people that make it to free agency. And Vladimir Guerrero not making it to free agency. You know, I thought he wanted up in the $6 million range. He signed, what, 14 for 500? None of it's deferred. Look, here's what I'm going to say. You can't predict the future. Whether it's your own life or the world at large. And so maybe people are thinking, having some guaranteed money coming my way isn't that bad. Because I don't know what's going on. I'll sign a 14-year deal right now for $500 million to do this.
Yeah, just give me a fraction of that. I'll be happy. Like, good Lord. All my problems go away if I have money. Management, if you're listening, well,
I'll sign a 14-year deal to do this for, like, way less than that. Like, five zeros?
Yeah.
Four zeros even?
Yeah, I will do this job for even less than that.
Yeah, I just want any job security whatsoever would be good.
Would be nice. Well, here might be some job security for the next fellow here that we're going to introduce in Colorful Part 3. The Carolina Panthers have signed a 6'8", 245-pound developmental project at tight end. Former Division I basketball player Colin Granger will begin his journey into the NFL after 5 years of playing college basketball at the following schools: Ohio, Western Carolina, and Coastal Carolina. Other former basketball players at tight end include Hall of Famers Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates. Now, he gets to sign directly because it's been 5 years since he played basketball. If he tried to do this last year, he would have to, like, you know, be draft eligible. But, you know, he's basically a free agent. So Carolina's going to try to take a dart throw here on a really big guy to see if they can convert him to tight end. He hasn't played football since, like, grade school. Call or fold, undrafted basketball prospects should switch to football.
I mean, sure, call that they should give it a try. I think fold that this works.
You don't think this has a chance?
I
gave you two Hall of Famers, and there's a bunch of guys.
Why wasn't he playing football then at Coastal Carolina?
Oh, he probably wanted to play basketball.
He couldn't make that team. So why isn't he playing basketball now? So he was good enough in college, not good enough to play football at Coastal Carolina. Now he's bad enough at basketball to go, but he's good enough to play in the NFL?
I actually applaud this because it's all a numbers game. Not everybody's good enough to make the association. There are, 12 men on a roster spot or on a team in the NBA? So 12 guys dress. In the NFL, you have 53 chances to get on a team. 58 if you count.
Oh, and if you're 6'9", 225, I'd try out for any sport.
Oh, 1,000%. That size, bro, just throw me the ball and hope that I make one guy miss. I'll take a stab at it. I mean, not everybody's going to be a Hall of Famer, but you got guys like, remember George Fant for the Seahawks? He was a former basketball player. He wasn't that great in college basketball. I think he had a pretty solid career. He had a couple years with the Seahawks, the Jets. So
yeah, but did these guys play college football?
Not all of them do. Like Granger, he hasn't played college football in high school or collegiate.
There was a guy, Demetrius Harris, just tried this. Demetrius Harris played basketball in Milwaukee, and then he went to go play football, and he played for years in the NFL. He played with the Chiefs for 5 years. His best year was 18 catches, 224 yards, and a touchdown. He played with the Browns, the Bears, the Cardinals. He had an 8-year career. He made a bunch of money. I mean, maybe it works. But yeah, I remember that with Demetrius Harris. How about that shout out?
How about that pull? Good for you. Because I had no idea who it is. It seems to be like, yeah, college basketball players become tight ends. And then wrestlers. There's a lot of wrestlers who are former NFL players or tried to get in the NFL. The Rock didn't make it. I think he played in Miami. Roman Reigns couldn't hack it in the NFL.
Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar, yeah, University of Minnesota.
Didn't Goldberg try to play in the NFL?
I think he tried to play in the XFL, right?
Oh, my God.
I have to take a look at that one. And Baron Corbin, he was another guy. I think he played in Arizona. He might have been a practice squad guy for either the Cardinals or the Colts, but he couldn't crack the roster either. A lot of wrestlers that wanted to be football players. All right.
Goldberg's son plays for Dion.
Oh, well, look at that. I had no idea.
Yeah, last year he had one tackle in the bowl game. That was it.
Man, was it that pudgy kid that was ringside a couple of years ago when Goldberg was at WrestleMania?
Yeah, it's Gage.
What a terrible match that was. Ugh, Goldberg's so overrated.
Oh, there was a pay-per-view in Milwaukee where it was the pay-per-view where Kevin Owens got squashed by Goldberg when he first came back.
That's right.
We were so pissed. I was there. We were so pissed.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Oh, no, bro, I remember that. It was so obnoxious. I hated that decision.
So I have a chair, Carlos, because we had, like, really good seats from the radio station.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So you got to take the commemorative chair home?
The chair that I sit on when I'm doing, like, podcasts and stuff is a Goldberg WrestleMania fold-out chair.
You got to send me a picture when you get home. I'd actually like to see that. All right, let's wrap this up here.
It's very uncomfortable, though. Goldberg's ruined my ass.
I'm going to clip that as a drop. Nearly 2 days after Duke choked away a game.
I gave you that one.
Duke choked away a game to Houston. The Cougars wound up doing the same to Florida. Houston only trailed for 63 seconds in the championship game. One time they led by 12 points. Ultimately, they lost 68-65. Kelvin Sampson is 69 years old, and in the age of NIL, who the hell knows what this roster is going to look like next season? So, Bart, call or fold, Kelvin Sampson's window has closed.
The odds would say call. I'm going to say fold.
Fold.
He's got this one last chance. Man, I think it'd be cool if, like, people were looking around college and were like, man, I feel bad for that guy. Let's go try to win there. I mean, yeah, it probably has. You know what? I call. I didn't drop my cards, actually. I held on. I'm calling. He's not going to win.
Cole.
Yeah, I'm actually going to play this hand.
All right. Last one here. Not sports. MCU's Phase 4 was widely regarded as a dud. It basically encompasses the entire multiverse saga. Some highlights include the Spider-Man's multiverse movie where, you know, Andrew and Toby came back and you had all the Spider-Mans there. So it reintroduced Sony Spider-Man into the MCU. Lowlights, basically everything else, especially Doctor Strange 2. What an absolute disaster that was. But here we are in Phase 5. It includes Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumanium, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Deadpool, Wolverine, and Bart, we are on the heels of Thunderbolts, which is basically MCU's version of the Suicide Squad, where they will introduce Sentry, which is the MCU version of Superman, who, by the way, is schizophrenic. Call or fold, the MCU is back, baby!
Well, yeah, call. Yeah.
Man, I gave Daredevil you such a layup rules. For a raise, and you couldn't even do that.
Oh, no. Well, look, Ant-Man sucked also.
Big time.
Here's the problem with the MCU discourse and most discourse in general. Everybody would like everything they like more if you weren't aware of the people who didn't like what you like. That makes sense?
No, try that again.
I like what I like, and I like it. But then when I hear so many people that don't like it, then I start to reconsider if I do like it.
Oh, I don't care. You got to tune out the noise.
All I want it to be, it's 11:39 right now, Central Time. At 1:35 a.m., I will be in my chair watching Daredevil, Episode 8. Get me to Daredevil, man. Get me to Daredevil tonight.
That's all we can hope for. I will be watching it tomorrow morning/afternoon. And that is call or fold.
Time. Yeah, I can't wait. I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Straight up. Pay him. Pay that
man. I wouldn't be able to sleep if I I'd just be thinking about it, so I'm going to do that. All right, 888-710-4ISN. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti. That was how it finished on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Kevin Kugler on the call as the Gators beating Houston, 65-63. That was last night. Big moment. Tonight, a big moment, as it is time for our Defensive Player of the Week. Sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, proudly serving the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. So in that game, and with that, well, that Condon got credited with the steal there. I don't know that it technically was that, but I guess it was. The ball was there and he picked it up. But Alex Condon in that game, 4 steals and 7 rebounds for the Florida Gators. Now he gets it for the men's side. We're also giving the award out to Sarah Strong, a member of the UConn Huskies, in their 82-59 win. She did well on one side of the court with 24 points, but she also had 15 boards, 14 on the defensive glass, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. So a big night for her, and a big night for Alex Condon, and a bigger night for both of them tonight. The Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And a special Just Because Award of the Week for someone I think is a great basketball player is Haley Van Lith. And I just want to shout her out today for no specific reason. But what a player she is. So, people did not. Here's one headline I could do. I could do this with the women's tournament. Viewership was down 55% for the final. See, you can spin it that way if you want. But that would be stupid. Because Caitlin Clark, this moment in time, a one of one, who has started to bring bigger eyeballs to the WNBA. I think for women's college basketball, to ride that wave of popularity, what they had to hope for was, do we get a boon from that? Caitlin Clark became this phenomenon. A lot of people wanted to watch her play. In 2023, LSU beat Iowa. 9.9 million viewers watched. Last year, South Carolina beat the Hawkeyes. 18.9 million people watched. This year, in a matchup between the Huskies and South Carolina, 8.5 million people watched. So, in the last 3 years, this was the lowest watched game of the last three. I'll remind you that 8.5 million people to watch anything at the same time is a lot of people. And did the Clark wave leave the sport better than when it came in? Absolutely. Because while it may have been down from a once-in-a-generation sort of combining of events, it was up 75% from the 4.8 million people who watched the game in 2022 between the same two teams. That game aired on ESPN, this one on ABC, so it did get a bigger broadcast platform. But also it earned a bigger broadcast platform. And so, yeah, there was no way that you were going to get $18 million for that finale with Caitlin Clark against the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks, and then the next year beat that number. But the fact that that wave is gone out of college into the WNBA, I mean, 8.5 million people, WNBA's not drawn that. 8.5 million people is a lot of people. The Stanley Cup's not drawing that. Some NBA Finals games barely draw more than that. Same with the World Series. 8.5 is a lot of people. So you could look at that headline and be like, oh, I guess nobody wants to watch because Caitlin Clark's gone. Yes, 9 million people wanted to watch, which was like double what they used to get. So, big success, big ratings, men's ratings good, women's ratings good, good tournaments. Not really, but the finishes were very good. 888-710-4ISN. Adam Schefter has some draft intel. I think people are leading him astray. Details next.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.